All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we're taking a look at episode 4 of WandaVision. This episode, compared to the previous three, things actually happened, and it was actually okay. Start off with the man that just wants to let you know the new crack era has started. Big Mike, how do you feel about episode 4 of WandaVision?
So easily the best episode out of the series so far. Without question. Definitely felt more Marvel than the first three episodes. It started to answer a lot of questions, or at least end all the speculation as to what we thought was already going on, and confirming those things. Also explained what's going on with Geraldine, who's actually Monica Rambeau, which had already been leaked before the series, but
yeah,
showed a little background on her, particularly the fact that we now know that she was part of the blip. 2 years into the blip, her mother passed from cancer. Definitely going to shape her character going forward. The fact that she came back, dealt with that, and now she's already back to work as S.W.O.R.D., which is, everybody likes to call it S.H.I.E.L.D. 2.0, which we found out that her mother actually started from the ground up. So, like I said, a lot of questions started getting answered for her. Also, other questions from the first three episodes, like who the voice was that was coming through the radio. We found out it was Jimmy Woo, the FBI agent from Ant-Man. And then who was watching the TV at the end of the first episode, which we found out was Darcy from Thor. This episode felt more MCU than the first three. And I had been reading leading up to the episode. I didn't think it was a coincidence that Tiana Paris, who plays Monica Rambeau, had come out and said, hey, from episode 4 on, really gets rolling. Somebody else said the same thing. And then Feige came out and said the slow burn was on purpose, but you'll understand why as it starts to pick up. And by the end of the season, it'll all pay off. So Keith has said this numerous times before, and I think he definitely hit it right on the nose in this instance with that. At the end of the day, I guess to give Marvel the benefit of the doubt. Honestly, after the first three episodes, I was like, if this continues like this,
yeah,
I don't know what to say about this.
Yeah. I mean, the first three episodes could have been 10 minutes of one episode. And you just kind of switch between all that stuff and try to figure out what's going on. And then you get to this episode. So definite miss, but go ahead.
I would say surprisingly, but not really surprisingly, in one episode has kind of already turned the tide. And if this is how it's going to go moving forward, then I think we're actually going to get a pretty solid series of big things for Phase 4. We now know that Wanda, of course, has created all this, and she's the one keeping everybody out, has energy filled up, and created this world. Thought they had a really good shot when the dead Vision walked in and asked her what's wrong. That caught me off guard. I did not expect to see that. But I say, overall, man, this is a really, really solid and good episode. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff they packed in. I mean, it's only like, what, 22, 23 minutes? It's not a long episode. It's like
26 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
If this is a turning point, if you weren't watching before, now you can start watching from episode 4, because you don't need to watch the first three to really figure out what's going on. They kind of show you.
Previously on WandaVision.
Disagree. Yeah. Disagree.
All right. So since Keith disagrees, how did you feel about the episode 4 of WandaVision?
Awesome. Epic. Good stuff. And I disagree only in that you needed those first three episodes. And all of its sitcom cheesiness, I went back and relooked at some scenes from that, from those first two episodes. This is where the burn picks up. It laid that whole foundation immersed in that world. Because like when episode 3 hit, I think that's when the turning point hit. Flipped the script or whatever, or went off script, the glitches that were happening before that you kind of didn't pay attention to too much, you start to see that they have actual real meaning. Slow burn was necessary to give us the payoffs that we're experiencing now. I thought episode 4 was fantastic. I liked that shot where it showed Monica Rambeau reforming after the blip. She just kind of reformed, like looks around like, where's my mom? And I'm sitting there watching the show and I'm just like, oh, that's messed up. Your mom was in a hospital. Don't tell me she's dead when you were gone. Waking up 5 years from now is not a fun experience. And the little tiny things where I don't know if they actually legitimately planned this stuff that far in advance, but the events from Infinity War and Endgame having such a massive impact on the entire franchise the way it did. It's amazing how well it was plotted and how well it was scripted. And this show just sets the stage for what's happening moving forward. There's so many ways this can go, and I'm not even going to try and predict it. I've stayed away from spoilers. This episode solidified the entire series for me. So I'm all in. Fantastic, but we needed those first three episodes.
All right, Matt, do you agree or disagree?
I agree with Keith. You do needed those episodes to catch all the Easter eggs and the hints with it. I don't think it was necessarily a bold move in what they did, but I think it was a strategic move for for the bigger picture, show the impact of the Scarlet Witch, because she is, like, if not the most powerful mutant, she can change reality. She didn't get as much screen time as, let's say, Iron Man or Captain America, but right. She was there. She was, what, a B, C tier character in the movies, as opposed to, like, Spider-Man and everyone else. To have an isolated show focusing on her to show how powerful she is and the impact that she will have long-term to the MCU, I think this was needed. Keith was right. It was a slow burn, and more than likely episodes 4, 5, 6, 7, well, they don't have 8 this year?
9 episodes.
9? Okay.
Going to set up everything good. I mean, we got Doctor Strange around the corner whenever they decide to go from there, and then you got Spider-Man that is supposed to impact. It's all kinds of things that are going to happen. Maybe new people pop up. Unfortunately, I did the opposite of Keith. I was actually, like, listening to all kinds of YouTube videos as far as theories, about 80% of them correct, the other 20% like wishful thinking, but I'm very pleasantly surprised. Believe in Marvel, like Mike said, they know what they're doing. Give trust in them, although first 2 episodes kind of sucked, but it was kind of needed to show the impact as far as how everything happened and help with all the what Marvel does best, Easter eggs. Easter eggs and hints and things that'll backtrack, because I can guarantee you 2-3 movies from now, we're going to have to reference one of these episodes. And then you'll be like, ah, that's what it meant. Very good show, Marvel.
Again, I'm going to agree with Mike that it did not need to be almost an hour and 20 minutes of whatever the first 3 episodes were. It could have been done in 1 episode. How much stuff they attempted to put into it, it could have been done in 1 episode. I like where this episode is going and what it's trying to set up. Kind of just be a little bit cautious just because of those first 3 episodes. Like, I did not like those, and the definite missteps, and I understand the purpose of it and the quirkiness of it. I feel that golden age of TV, the 50s, 60s, that just didn't need to be there. I mean, this episode is fine. It's going in the right direction. If this was the first episode, I'd be really hyped for the subsequent episodes. And I am, but first 3 episodes left a bad taste in my mouth.
So you would flip it. You would have this episode.
I would have this episode be about 40 minutes and establish the core concepts in those first 3 episodes within that, maybe the first 15, 20 minutes. Mike, do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, honestly, I feel like you could have done one episode where the first 10 minutes was the first episode, the second 10 minutes was the second, and the last 10 minutes was the third. And you just had one episode and then it gone straight into the second one. I think you'd have been fine. You could have had the same references, the helicopter, the blood, the radio, the whole nine, and it would have worked. Like, half of the second episode was literally them doing the talent show and him eating the gum and getting stuck and not knowing what to say. It's like a bunch of filler. Even the first episode really was a whole lot of filler. It wasn't really a whole lot to happen in that one.
Would episode 4 had the impact it did if episodes 1, 2, and 3 didn't play at its current
pace? Well, we kind of know where it's going in the first place. So the journey to get there was just wrought with, hey, we wanted to do something quirky, some I Love Lucy, Brady Bunch style TV stuff. Okay, but what does that have to do with anything else?
I think it had to do more with the mentality of how everything was happening. I don't think you would be able to capture the mentality of her in about 10 minutes or actually have a profound impact. Because if it was like 10 minutes, that was just a quick phase versus 1, 2, 3 episodes. I mean, that's just my thought process on it. Because if you only had like 10 minutes where she's crazy, no, she's had a little hiccup. Nope, that's not the case with episodes that are this long.
First episode, you were kind of sitting there thinking, like, where is this going? You get a little blip. You're like, wait, what did I just see? And then the episode's over. And then you get to the second one. Okay, here we go. More of the quirkiness, but I'm going to keep an eye out for those blips. And then they happen. Something's going on. Wait, what's up with this guy? What's up with this character? The second episode, knew something was up with Geraldine, even if you didn't know that she was Monica Rambeau. Because I'd forgotten about Monica Rambeau when I first started watching this. But I knew something was up. Now I'm remembering my focus was on Agnes because we talked about her being that she might be a reference to the character from the comic books who was Scarlet Witch's mentor. Looking at her, but at the same time, I'm seeing Geraldine. I'm thinking, wait a minute, something's up with her. Homeowners Association, Dottie, I think her name was, the blonde.
Yeah. So
you're kind of looking at, and then I'm looking at her and I'm like, wait, something's weird with her too. And it's like every once in a while, you kind of like on guard. You're looking for the backgrounds. You're looking for the Easter eggs. You're looking for the hidden messages coming through. And then as they're popping in, and then like at the end of the episode, it pops off and you're just like, what the heck? Okay. Starting to catch on to what's happening here. Geraldine doesn't belong. Okay. She's Monica Rambeau. Kind of putting it together. And then once episode four comes around, it gets put together for you, but it's bigger than you think. So I think it would have done better with more Easter eggs thrown in the first two episodes, just to kind of give people who are kind of getting bored with that whole format a little something. Maybe a commercial about like a Captain America toy or something weird like that. Something else was going on in there that to hang on to, kind of focus on. But other than that, those were necessary. We kind of needed that pain to get to the meat of it all. I watched the promo for episode five like four or five times.
I didn't even see the promo for that.
I don't think this thing's going to slow down until the end.
Well, like I said, that's what Tiana Paris said. She was like, from episode four through nine, it's on. It rolls the whole way through. And if Feige came out and said something, I'm assuming they pay attention to what the fans are saying online, no matter how much they say they don't. It's no coincidence that...
Made you for know, Star Wars.
Yeah, everybody online is complaining about the first three episodes and how slow they are and where the payoff going to be. And then all of a sudden, everybody starts talking.
I guess the real question is... do those first three episodes mar the series as it stands now?
For this episode, no. For the series, yes.
I have to see the whole series before I can answer that.
That's fair.
All right.
You bury your statement's not fair. Fuck you.
It's tired of you. All right. So let's just give some quick scores. Well, Big Mike, what score would you give this episode?
I've actually had to set a 7.5 only because I'm still kind of burned from the first three, being honest. And I'd rather see how the rest play out. So I'm tempering my expectations for now. But I got it at a 7.5. Like I said, it was a good episode. I wasn't disappointed with it at all. I actually watched it twice back to back. Happy that now it feels more like the MCU. This feels like phase four is really kicking off. And interested to see how this is going to go, especially considering they've got like a whole year of content streaming on Disney Plus and everything going forward. So. We'll see. It's supposed to set everything up, so I'm curious to see what is about to happen.
I'm thinking multiverse. I'm thinking mutants. I'm thinking it can go anywhere.
I think it's going to be all of that, honestly. It's just like, all right.
Keith.
I'm going to give this an 8.5, only because it left me wanting more, which is a good thing for an episode. While I defend the first three, we'll agree that they were not perfect, and they definitely did slow the pace of the overall series. I'm going to give that episode a 8.5. An asterisk beside that, that I may revisit that score later on and may rank it higher as the whole series comes along. It was good to see Darcy again. I love Agent Wu. I love their chemistry. I think Darcy got an unfair shake in the Thor movies. I think she was a good character. I defend Thor the Dark World, and it was unfortunate that we didn't see more of her. I'm glad she's got a place back.
Stop it. Stop it. All right. We're going to cut Keith off now. Let's go. All right, go ahead, Keith. Finish up.
Sword didn't feel like some cookie-cutter replacement for S.H.I.E.L.D. It felt like its own thing from the get-go. It kind of had the same vibe. Sword felt like its own thing, which I was pleased with. I'll give it an 8.5.
All right, Matt.
I'll have to agree with Keith. I'd go with 8.5, mind you. I'm grading it on this episode alone. I'm not comparing it to first three or collectively giving it. There's a lot of Easter eggs, and there's a plenty of aha moments from it. It's good to see characters from the past. And again, I firmly believe that one or two movies from now that we're going to look at these episodes and be like, hey, that was a hint from what happened in this scene. Because Marvel is so great at doing that. And using subtle characters who happen to be part of the universe and developing them over time. This was the episode that was needed in order to propel the universe as slow as the first episodes were, to go to that slow burn to now we're starting to run. Next episodes be out a full-blown sprint. So 8.5, Marvel knows what they're doing. Trust in what they do.
With a 7.5. So, I mean, there's a slight division with the Beast Gang about the approach of the show. Not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that it wasn't great. The execution wasn't flawless. And especially coming off of something like Endgame, where it should have been.
That's fair.
I think that's where I'm looking at this. So being optimistic, it is Marvel. It is the positive portion of Disney right now. I mean, with Marvel, you only have had a couple of missteps. On the other portion of Disney, several missteps in a row. The show has promise. but I think you can only do this show this season, and then there's no other season two for this. Because once you start kicking off the movies, there's no purpose for this show other than this was it. All right, I think that's the Beast Game Podcast.